This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Show. We're starting this this program off with a bang. We've got Brian Howell. He's a Buffs insider, publisher at BuffBlitz.com, covering the Colorado Buffaloes and recruiting for On3. Brian, my man, happy Friday to you, my friend.
Happy Friday to you as well.
What's new? I get emails from all these different, you know, administrators, sports guys, whatever, and I saw this one. Came across my desk the other day. Didn't think much of it, Brian, but you and I were going back and forth last night. Saw a tweet from somebody saying, and we're talking about like practices and what you guys aren't able to do. And I want to unpack this with you, my friend. I'm assuming you've seen the email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We all got the email and just kind of, detailing the open practice the other day. And, you know, frankly, I didn't think much of it either.
I didn't either, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's sort of standard procedure.
So an email comes out the other day, and it's like, hey, no devices, cell phones, tablets, cameras, video equipment, audio recorders for Buffs practice. No documentation, no note-taking of any kind, written, typed, dictated, or otherwise. So talk to me about that. Is that a normal thing? Because I went to a practice up north the other day, and I had my cell phone in my pocket, took a couple of pictures. I'm taking notes. Is that a normal thing to say, hey, no note taking of any kind?
Yes, I would say yes. I think it happens a lot. I mean, Tad Boyle does it for CU basketball. It's just there's no written policy like that, and we can have our cell phones. It's just this sort of thing. You can come to practice, but you know, don't report on injuries and schemes and things like that, and you know, personnel groupings. You're not supposed to report on that, so it's sort of understood. And but I think it's more that it was written out the way it was, and you know, in some ways, it's kind of funny. You know, like there was something in there about no illustrations, and I immediately thought of the movie The Natural, where the sports writer Max Mercy, you know,
yes,
does the illustrations of Roy Hobbs, and I'm like, oh, dang, I was going to do an illustration of Julian Lewis, but now I can't. So, you know, so things like that were kind of funny, but it took on a life of its own nationally by a couple people that just don't understand and, ran with it.
Well, and that's what I wanted to bring up, this Tony Farmer. I'm not sure. I think he has a podcast, Brian. I'm not 100% sure. But he tweeted it last night with the email included, and he said he had some sources that are saying that this was non-football reasons for locking practice down. So I wanted to have you on here with us to clear that up first off.
Yeah, I'd love to know who his sources are, if he has any, because if he does, they're wrong. Frankly, if there were non-football reasons for it, they would just not let us in like they normally do. The two practices this week are the first time we've watched a practice in about a year. I mean, last year they did a practice at DPS Stadium in Denver and let the public in. That was the last time we've seen a full practice. So if there was non-football things they were trying to hide, just close the gates like you always have. I mean, this was something they wanted to do, and it's everything I've been told is it was totally Coach Prime's idea to let a few fans in and the media just come watch and just give us the opportunity to watch with our own eyes the players that we're seeing or that we're writing about.
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me, because I went through the email a lot after seeing this tweet last night, and I'm digging in and I'm not seeing anything that would make my brain go, oh, there's something going on outside of football, and that's why everyone's, you know, hush-hush at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's nothing. It's frankly, just that. I mean, I think the thing that has, at least what I've seen, there's been a lot of journalists that have commented on this. The one thing is taking the cell phones away, which, yes, that part is unique. The only time I've ever had my cell phone taken away is under Coach Prime. You know, there's been a couple of meetings we've had with him, closed door things that, you know, are off the record type things where you have to leave your phone outside the room because that's just, but that's how he is, right? I mean, he's just a little paranoid about you don't want anything recorded, right? Secretly or whatever. And so that part's a little unusual, but at the same time, we were sort of talking about it among the media after Tuesday's practice when we did it, like, it was sort of refreshing to not have your phone for a couple hours and, you know, and just not have that ability to look at your phone all the time. And we talked to each other and we watched practice. And I actually met a fan there that she was standing there watching practice. And I went up to her just because she had a regular watch on. I said, "Hey, what time is it?" You know, because I didn't have the phone. And, you know, and then had a nice little 15-minute conversation with her. You know, talking about the Buffs, and so it was great.
Yeah, well, and I mean, sometimes just freeing yourself from that device when you go to a practice, you're able to kind of take everything in a little bit more instead of just hurrying to post something, get some kind of information. So I get what you're saying there, but it's just crazy. It is unique to me reading the email. And again, when I first got it, I kind of ignored it. I didn't think much of it, and then seeing the post last night, digging in, going, okay, seems kind of odd, but then again, that's kind of how Coach Prime is, Brian. I mean, he's kind of been like this for a while, so this one is not like breaking news. It might be odd news, but this is kind of who he is.
Yeah, no question. And frankly, the only difference is we've always been able to not report on the things in practice because we can't see it. Only difference is now we get to watch it. And so, we all, honestly, the general opinion of those in the media that got to be there was it was great. We were happy that Coach Prime let us in the building and be able to watch practice. It's what we've wanted. And to see two in 1 week was fantastic. I mean, I could probably still count on one hand the amount of practices I've seen under Coach Prime, and two of them were this week. So it was great.
Well, and Brian, I remember one of the times I made my way down to Boulder and you were kind of leading me around. It was, I think it was like a media day and we got to go watch practice in the stadium and stuff. And I remember that was back, I think that was Mel Tucker, Brian. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm with you and you're just like, "Hey, let's go down on the field. It's open. Let's walk down there." We walk down there and then someone grabs us and says, "Hey guys, you can't be down here. You got to be up there." So I recall that vividly. CU practice has always been pretty buttoned up.
Yeah, it kind of comes and goes. I mean, this is my 17th year covering them, so I've seen both sides of it. And, you know, John Embry's first year, he's totally open. Mike McIntyre's first year, I think first 2 years maybe, totally open. Mel Tucker every once in a while would let us in. Carl Durrell every once in a while. But, yeah, for the most part, this is not a Coach Prime thing. I mean, I talked to my friends who cover Utah. You know, when Kyle Whittingham was there, they never watched practice, like not even a 10-minute period, you know. So it's common around the country. And football coaches are just paranoid. They don't want people in there seeing what they're doing.
It's crazy. And I get it to an extent, but yes, football coaches more so than any other type of coach are very secretive about their stuff.
No question. I mean, and part of it, I've heard this about Brennan Marion, the new OC, that he's very much like that. And so I can see where part of that is coming from him as well. Like, I don't want people to see my offense yet, you know? They're paranoid about it. It's not like those of us in the media are going to do that anyway and report on, "Oh my gosh, you should see this play that they're doing." You know, it's more of, it was just nice to be out there and see the guys and see for your own eyes, like, oh, they are bigger at this spot. You know, they are fast at this spot. So it was kind of fun to see that.
Brian Howell joining us, talking all things Buffs. All right, Brian, so outside of that, obviously we get you on here Friday's chat all things Buffs, but I wanted to kind of clear the air about that deal. But what else has kind of stood out to you as we're getting closer and closer to that opening kickoff for the Buffaloes?
Yeah, really just high energy from this team, and I think that there's a lot of sort of quiet confidence on this team that they're going to be pretty good, and maybe not like Big 12 title contender good, but like, they would probably think that, but I think that there's this confidence they're going to be a winning team and surprise a lot of people. And there's some good playmakers on this team on both sides of the ball, and I think that they're going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially offensively.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Brian, I know you got to run. I'm glad you could make this work because I know you're getting set for the day ahead for all things Buffalo. So appreciate your time as always, and I'll look to catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian Howell. Interesting. So, Michael, this Tony Farmer shared this tweet last night. Tony Farmer says 49ers talk, sleuth, creator, host of Last Men Standing, the Last Men podcast. And he shared the email and said, let me find it here. Holy crap, I've never seen anything like this. And my source tells me that there are non-football reasons for it. Deion Sanders, Colorado University, sent this to members of the media prior to practice. It says nothing observed at practice may be reported, and if so, they can expect the revoking of their credentials. Reporters can't even take notes. And he writes, this is amid the backdrop of Shiloh Sanders' August 31st trial date for a bankruptcy issue. Now, here's where I go. I got this email on the 10th of August. And it's Colorado football will hold practice open to the public on Tuesday, August 11th. Media attending both practice and the media availability. Blah, blah, blah. No, you can leave a backpack with them upon your arrival. And they will take those to a different room during practice and escort you up to that room as practice winds down. Note to media, observation only. This practice is open for viewing purposes only. It is closed for all reporting, recording, and documentation purposes. Nothing observed at practice may be reported, published, posted, broadcast, or otherwise shared in any form. No devices, no cell phones, cameras, video equipment, audio recorders, smart glasses, don't even know what those are, and any other recording-capable devices are prohibited. Devices will be bagged and stored and returned upon leaving. So it reads odd. Now, like, it says no documentation, no note taking of any kind, written, typed, dictated, or otherwise. No photography, videography. I will tell you, Mike, so I was out at CSU practice on Tuesday and I was taking notes. I had my phone out and my little note app, you know, and I'm writing down certain numbers, guys that are sticking out to me, whatever. We are told, and this has been the way I can remember under Jay Norvell, under Jim Mora, Steve Adazio, Mike Bobo, like certain portions of practice you can't video, you can't take pictures. Most of the stuff you can take is it needs to be wide shots. So you can take like action shots of a receiver going up for a reception, stuff like that. But we're never able to take like formations. You know, you don't want to see formations, a play roll out. Depth chart talk. I mean, I even cleared it up when I said, hey, Farrar just completed a long pass. Is that cool? Because I know that there's a deep quarterback conversation going on. So I will say it's always kind of buttoned up when you go to football practices. That's just kind of how it is. But it does read odd. It definitely reads odd the way, you know, it's no note taking of any kind. It's just observation.
Yeah, the note-taking and the phone confiscation, to me, is a little trust issues. But I totally understand them saying, we don't want you to film. We don't want this
right.
is for us only. You can take some notes. Don't, you know, give away any secrets.
Yeah.
I understand.
And again, it's like this had nothing to do with any kind of ongoing court case or anything with Shiloh in this email. So to read into that was odd to me. Big Hub says, so what's the point in going or covering? That ruins the point of my job. I don't know. I guess you just observe. You're there to observe. Take it in. But you're not taking... And that's a lot of times what I do, Mike. I mean, yeah, I was taking notes the other day, but a lot of time you're just there at practice, getting the vibe, what have you. And it's you know, you walk away from it. That's why, you know, covering training camp stuff in August for college football... It's still kind of a crapshoot, and you're just out there to be a part of it. But no, their football coaches are very, very guarded, 100%.
And I understand that, but I think the NFL does a better job with this. And maybe it's because the NFL has more power.
Based on what are you – based on what?
Well, because, like, you can – there's actual reporting, and they do talk about injuries.
Yeah, but they've been – the media has been shut off all week. Their last day to be out at training camp was Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. So they haven't been able to be out at practice since because it is game week.
So
for the Buffs, it's starting to feel like game
week.
They've
been able to be transparent, and none of them have said, all right, the Broncos are going to run this formation this amount of time. I feel like the NFL does it a little better, and maybe they can because there are less teams. And
But, Michael, to be fair, Sean Payton was very strict, especially his first year. I mean, he would tell media members, like, hey, you can't be talking about this. You can't. There were things that they told radio guys, like, you can't even be talking about a certain situation. So I think they're all like that. I think it makes sense to me, but it is kind of odd, like, no note-taking. Written, typed, dictated, or otherwise. Sketching. No sketching. Like, who's sitting there sketching practice out? That's odd to me.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. If they all do it, it's not as big of a deal. Like, it sounded like a bigger deal at the beginning.
Well, the tweet that went out.
Whittingham is like this as well, is that takes a load off my mind of maybe Prime is a bit crazy about this, but
I'm failing to find where it says anything in here that this is like non-football related. And this is what the tweet, Brian and I were talking about it last night, and I was like, who is this guy? And I'm not disrespecting the guy. I'm digging into the email, and I wasn't able to find anything that led me to believe this was a non-football reason for showing up. So I don't know. It's odd. And, you know, I remember my first day ever going out to, like, CSU practice. I videoed something, okay? And it had audio to it, the video. And I'll never forget a good friend of mine, Justin Michael. He texted me and said, hey, dude, your video has audio under it. Just looking out, man. You can't have any audio. And I was like, that's weird, but okay. Because it's literally just guys hitting each other, and that's all you can really hear. But they're strict. That's just how it is. So the email definitely reads odd, but I don't think this one for Coach Prime is one of those big deals to worry about. Smitty says, I can't wait for Keeler's first column after Deion leaves. Yeah, how do you think that one will play out? That'll be fun to...
Leaves or is forced out?
Well, he ain't going to be forced out for a bit because that buyout is ridiculous.
Yeah, but... I'm curious to see
if Sean does like a tell-all. Because, again, for those of you not following along, Sean Keeler is one of the reporters that he's not allowed to ask questions. He can't talk to Coach Prime because he wrote something a couple years ago and Coach Prime didn't like it. And said, man, why do you dislike us so much, all this? And then basically from that point on, he was shut out, Mike. I mean, there were times where, like, I remember Sean Keeler trying to interview, like, Warren Sapp. Just, like, turn a shoulder to him. Just ignore him. Just kept it. As soon as Sean would start asking something, he would interrupt him and say, okay, next question. And Sean just kind of stood back. It was very disrespectful how that went down. There's going to be reporting. There's going to be people that are critical of your job. That's just how it is. You get into this business, you know that people are going to be critical of what you do. And Coach Prime's response to that was, that guy can no longer... The Denver Post, Mike. The Denver Post cannot ask questions. And it was CBS, too, that he was pissy about, even though he does like... He did... I think he does... I don't know if he does it anymore, but he did like a weekly one-on-one interview with Romy Bean, who was with CBS locally. So I thought that was interesting. He's a guarded dude. He does things... his way. Love it or hate it. I tend to lean toward this latest thing. It's more of a not that big of a deal. It just reads wrong saying, hey, put your cell phone in this bag and we'll get it back to you after practice.
Yeah, it's not like school where they have to take their phones away because some kid's going to use the internet to find the answer on the
test. That wasn't my – I didn't have that growing up. We didn't have the cell phones.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah, probably a good thing. 25 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. It is Friday. Broncos football. We got Broncos in action tonight. What to look for in this first preseason game for the Denver Broncos. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The countdown to kickoff begins with training camp. KFKA puts a spotlight on the Greeley West Spartans tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Weld Community Credit Union.
Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're getting close, Mike, to our official Football Friday. Now, today's not a Football Friday. It's preseason, so it doesn't count. So it's not a Football Friday until it counts.
So are picks not on this Friday?
Picks are not on this Friday. Picks are on Friday.
I don't think everybody knew that.
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Not this one.
Well, picks are on Friday, though.
Can we pick preseason?
If picks are on Friday, you tell me.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that picks are on Friday. Faith texting in on the Coach Prime thing. To be so guarded, he puts a lot of himself out on his social media and about his sons. Yeah, I mean, he does. He's open in that way. But Coach Prime, he creates his own narrative, Mike. That's what he does. He creates it. He controls his environment. That's part of the shutting down of the Denver Post and only allowing certain people to ask questions. He controls it. Is it right? Not necessarily, no. But he's going to make sure that if you're in the building and you're following the team and the stories you take away from that, he's going to try to control that as best as he possibly can. Smitty texting on the Romy thing. Romy is a CSU shill. I've heard that before. Because again, that she was the one, Michael, that I talked about this yesterday if you missed it. When CSU were getting ready for the Rocky Mountain Showdown, and Braden Fowler-Nicolosi and Tori Horton were talking, they were doing a interview with her and her network, and it was like, hey, they do it all for clicks, and you know, Tori Horton said some things, BFN talked about Instagram, and they're all about the clicks and all that stuff. And then that was like in August. I was out there that day. I wasn't a part of that, but us other media idiots were pulled off the side waiting for our turn to talk to players and such, but they were out there filming. That was like 4 or 5 weeks before the season began. And then Tori Horton got hurt, so he wasn't going to play in that game. And CBS released that video that week. And a lot of people had an issue with that. Because, Michael, it was like, wait, you're releasing kind of a trash talk video from one of the guys that's not even going to be playing tonight. I don't know. I thought that was an odd one for sure, but texter coming in on the Coach Prime. Deion doesn't want fair media to cover him. He wants suck ups. And that does it. That's kind of true, isn't it, Mike? Doesn't it feel like that? That Coach Prime definitely wants. Now, I'm not calling Brian Howell a suck up. He's been covering the Buffaloes for a very long time, Mike. But he doesn't want you to do what Sean Keeler does. And what is Sean Keeler, Mike? Columnist.
Why, he's critical.
He's an opinionated columnist. He doesn't report. He does, kind of. Yes, he does. But he also, most of his stuff, those are opinionated pieces. He does a lot of research for those pieces, no question. But he is definitely going to spin things to where to how he views them. And that's my favorite kind of writing, to be honest, because I want opinions. That's part of what this show's all about, Michael, is opinion. That's most of this show, actually. So, yeah, the email, I think, I don't know, it just read very strange. And I'm on these, I get these, but it's just observation only. The practice is open for viewing purposes only. It is closed for all reporting, recording, and documentation purposes. So nothing observed practice may be reported. So that's why when I asked Brian, I'm like, what did you see out there? He's like, oh, the energy's high. I'm like, ah, you're reporting on it. Stop. Stop. You reported on the energy. Don't report on the energy, man. You can't do that.
If Prime wanted to be more of a friend to the media, he would be more transparent. He would be less locked down. I understand sometimes during the week you want people not to see your practices because you're always going to have that idiot who's like, man, they ran this specific play really well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he's got to stop making the media an enemy. If you want nice stories written about
Michael,
you, be friendly.
I think I'm just kind of over the whole Prime thing. Aren't you? I mean, it was exciting. It was cool. It's like, whoa, Deion Sanders is going to be in Colorado. He's going to be the Buffs coach. This is going to be awesome. Then he does this. But, Mike, wasn't it from day one? Day one was a little strange. Remember? Remember his thing? Like, stand up there telling everybody, I'm bringing Louie with me. I'm bringing all these amazing players with me. And, you know, you might as well just get into that portal. It started off with the bang and then the whole We Coming thing. I mean, it was inspirational. A lot of people took it. A lot of people loved it. But it kind of ran thin pretty quickly. Lawnster is on the First Advantage Hotline. Lawnster, what's happening, man?
Hey, Brady, how you doing?
You know, it's Broncos Friday, so that we got that going for us.
Yeah, it's kind of getting close to Football Friday, as quicker than what we're kind of participating there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Are you ready for tonight, Lawnster? Watch a little preseason action for the Broncos?
I'm going to check out a little bit of it and see what happens, you know.
Anybody, anything in particular? You won't be watching Bo Nix tonight. Anything in particular you're looking out for in this game?
You know, I don't know what to expect for tonight. I really don't.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's preseason football,
man. It's one of these. It's like it's open. It's like anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's on your mind, man?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Hey, doesn't this sound like a little bit of what Ed McCaffrey did over at UNC almost?
He wasn't. McCaffrey wasn't as guarded, I will say, but he was very, very similar. I mean, there is a lot of similarities between how Ed McCaffrey handled things at UNC, and he wasn't like the type that would say, "Hey, I'm controlling the narrative. You know, you can't come out to practice, things like that." But he was, he had a lot of similarities. That's for sure. He had the approach of like, "I'm a big former Bronco. I'm a superstar," and this. You'll kind of go on, you'll do things by my schedule.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this sounds like over in Boulder. I mean, it's like, come on, when is this going to stop?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, I get you, Lawnster. Appreciate the call, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you what? You do the same, and let's get football going here pretty soon.
Let's get it going. Let's get it rocking.
Yep.
There it is. I've made that comparison before, Mike, the Ed McCaffrey thing. Like, the Prime thing is like the Ed McCaffrey thing on steroids. Because Coach Prime is nationally famous. Ed McCaffrey is famous in the state of Colorado.
At least he's not really famous outside. At least he was somewhat transparent. I remember you having, at the time, the longest interview in whole show history. It was like 34 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I didn't even get a chance to, like, I had to go up on the roof and
fix something.
That. When I got back down, you were still in the first segment.
Yeah. No, it was. Well, and I told you, do I have time to, how about we take a break? Let me tell that story. You want me to tell that story? When I actually met Ed McCaffrey? Like, and we hung out? Do I tell that story?
I would love you to tell
okay,
that story.
36 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Joe Cravens, former Big Sky basketball coach, now Big Sky broadcaster, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1, 1310, KFK. You better listen. It's more fun than getting dirty.
Where's that one been? Where's Joe Craven's intro been, Michael?
I had to go back and look for it.
Wow.
It was one of the many things that's on my list to do, and I finally got to do that
one. That was my favorite one. That's the best one we have.
And now it's deleted.
The Ed McCaffrey thing's interesting, and I won't go too far into this, but, you know, he was ultimately fired by UNC. He was. On November 21st, 2022. He had a 6-16 record over two active seasons. There was a lot of criticism. I think, you know, players were alleging that, you know, he mismanaged things. There was a lot of favoritism, failing to properly prepare scouting reports, things like that. We heard a bunch about Ed McCaffrey during his time at UNC. Now, there was a story that came out from Tribune, CBS Sports. Northern Colorado fires Ed McCaffrey, former all-pro wide receiver, and it was all marred by controversy. Players alleged that McCaffrey tampered with scholarships and failed to properly prepare for games. So, Michael, that story came out, okay, on a Friday night. I'm reading it. No, that story came out like in the middle of the week. I'm reading it. Go through it. I have Ed McCaffrey's number. Got to know him. We were good. So I shoot him a text and say, hey, do you want to jump on, get out in front of this? You know, what do you think? Crickets. Reached out to administration. Hey, guys, what do you think about getting him on? Nothing. So days go by. More stories are coming out. So I fire up. I have a YouTube channel. I fire that up. You just search the whole show. And I'm basically just going through the story about him allegedly tampering with scholarships. I'm doing this on a Friday night. I'm reading through the story, and I'm saying, this is written here, she did this here, oh my gosh, this is crazy, if this is true. Never once did I say, this is true. Never once did I go into that, Mike. I'm doing the thing live, right? I get a text from Ed McCaffrey while I'm doing the YouTube video. I'm currently on, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I said in the video, have reached out to Ed McCaffrey, nothing back yet. He texts me. Clearly, he's watching the video and says, I'm happy to be on whenever. Then I find out he didn't like the video. He was upset and accused me of being a gotcha radio guy. So we talk. I talked to the athletic director, and he said, you said a lot of things like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, I said, maybe this is that case. I'm not sure. You tell me. Haven't been able to get Coach on. So they schedule Coach McCaffrey to be on our radio station, Mike, to go on one of our political shows, not mine, because there was upset feelings because of the video. Whatever. Ed and I talk. He invites me to come over to his, you know, the facility and just hash it out. And I was like, Ed, I want to be very clear here. I did not write the article. I did not accuse you of doing any of this stuff. I've heard from your players, from some of your players. They say these things are true. I haven't ran with it because I'm running with it today. I haven't ran with all that. Out of respect for you, all I was doing was summarizing an article in the Greeley Tribune. I had the reporter on. She wasn't, let me just say this, she wasn't fantastic with her coverage of the story. Ed and I talked. He invited me over. I'll never forget. It was snowing. We stood out on the new turf for about an hour, like in a blizzard. I'm freezing at this point, and Coach is going on and on and on and on and on. Finally, he says, let's go inside. So we go to his office, and he continues to accuse me of writing the article. He goes, you said I didn't know football here in this part. And I said, wait. Look at the byline. That is not me, Coach. We can watch the video together if you would like. Full disclosure, I took the video down. I regret doing that to this day because I said nothing in it wrong. He shows me his playbook. He starts going through his plays, telling me these are Mike Shanahan's plays, blah, 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 blah. We talked forever. Michael, 3 hours. I was there for 3 hours. Tell 11-year-old Brady that you're going to spend 3 hours in a room talking football with Ed McCaffrey. And he's going to go pinch me. That's awesome. Wow, where did it go right for me? That was because I was in trouble, I guess. And I'm talking to Ed. So we get him on the show. He's fine. We're fine. Nothing major after that. But I didn't trust him. I don't think he trusted me. And that's been a my relationship, my view of Ed McCaffrey, who was one of my favorite Broncos growing up. The guy didn't have the time of day, didn't have the time for me most of the time until I did a YouTube video where I was summarizing a story that was alleging a bunch of different things that he did. And then I heard a lot more after that from former players, Michael. It was not good. It was bad.
You had one of those players on, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. We had one call us. We Tanner and I were sitting in our offices and had a dude want to talk. He was like a backup player, but he wanted to go through everything, and he did. And we went with some of it. Some of it we didn't. But it was a very strange time in UNC history. And I'll tell you, I know UNC, they were ready to be done shortly into this. There was just a lot of bad, like not great. And I did a weekly radio show with his son, Dylan McCaffrey, and he was awesome. Dylan was great. But Coach accused me of wanting to do that show, saying I only wanted to use Dylan to get close to Christian McCaffrey so I could get him on the show.
Christian McCaffrey, who's very far away from the state of Colorado.
But he's a Colorado dude, and he was a Colorado legend. But no, Mike, no. I'm not fanboy. I'm not like you. I don't look like a Bronco threw up on me. I don't fanboy. I don't do it. And I'm not going to say, hey, Dylan, I want to do a radio show with you. Can you hook me up with Christian? That's way far and away, unlike anything I would ever do. And so, obviously, Ed and I talked about that. We figured it out. He trusted me enough to say, okay, you're not that guy. You're not doing that for this reason. And I never once asked to get Christian on. Never. And Dylan was awesome. Dylan was a great kid. Maybe not, you know, the football stuff didn't work out as well as he would have liked, but he was a really cool dude. And I enjoyed the chat with him. But those were some of my memories during the Ed McCaffrey days. So, yes, when you say there are kind of, when Lonnie brings up and says there are similarities to Coach Prime and how he's doing things, yeah, you can kind of see that.
Yes, Michael. UNC has a recent history, an over two-decade history of having coaches that don't have winning records. And some of those coaches have been there for quite some time.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they were, I think, better with the media and better than the players than McCaffrey was.
Ernest Collins Jr. wasn't, you know, you look at the record, he wasn't a good coach, right? But he was there for like 9 years.
He was a decent dude.
Yeah, and he didn't have issues. He wasn't doing bad things.
And he was dependable. Coach's show, you want him on? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you remember Ed didn't even show up to the first coach's show we had. You remember that?
I do.
They were not happy with that. He had to call in. Coach's show was at a restaurant here in Greeley. He didn't show up. Administration's freaking out. And they're like, where are you, man? This is your first coach's show. There are a lot of people here. It's Ed freaking McCaffrey. Of course there are a lot of people here. And he says, well, I'll just call in because I'm at practice. So he calls in. His first coach, the Ed McCaffrey coaches show, he phoned it in. Everyone was there to see Ed McCaffrey. And you remember when I had him on one time and because there were people accusing him of not actually living in Greeley and not being here all the time? It was snowing out. And he's like, hey, Brady, I'm glad to be talking to you from my office here in Greeley. I'm looking out and it is literally snowing. I thought that was odd. So, yes, childhood hero of mine kind of turned into not be so cool for me personally.
I can tell you that he did live in Greeley because I know where his house
he
was.
He bought
a
house.
I know a neighbor of his.
He bought a house. I don't know how often he was here, Michael. I don't know. Tanner and I were laughing one day because we went out to practice, and there's Ed standing on the field. And then there was a random tweet from Ed McCaffrey that said Mike Shanahan should be in the Hall of Fame. They're practicing. They're out there, and he's tweeting about Mike Shanahan. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show. That was a fun time in our lives. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
It's here. The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Buffs Insider for BuffBlitz.com for the On3 Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Broncos play tonight, well, at 5 o'clock here, Mike, about 5 hours away from kickoff. What are the biggest things you're looking for tonight in this game? We'll get to some of that coming up. You know, we didn't talk about it much, but backup quarterback situation is pretty significant for the Broncos, given that Bo Nix now has a history. I won't say predisposed like Sean Payton did, but he obviously has a history with that ankle. And so I would imagine, you know, yes, backup quarterback is very significant. We all know how the Patriots game went last year, the AFC Championship game. Even though it was a blizzard, it was nasty, but that's still a big topic of conversation. Are you good with the way they're going about it with their depth chart? With Sam Ehlinger going to be the third running back on this thing, and you're going to go with Jarrett Stidham as the backup. Are you good with that? Would you like to see somebody else? Would you like to see Sam win the job?
I mean, I wouldn't mind Sam winning the job, but we have a pretty good backup quarterback right now that I have confidence
in. We'll see. We'll talk about it. The top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.